Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. I titled the message this evening is God's Word, Our Lamp. And that comes from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my paths. There's several ways to describe that. Could be just the old term of lamp or a torch or even a flashlight or really modern, a headlamp. Well, I guess miners used to use headlamps too. But it's the word that lights our way, and I chose to stick with the old word, a lamp. So the Word of God provides the light that we need for our lives. And this verse carefully gives us that truth so that we'll seek that and follow that. You might notice that there is a connection between this morning's sermon and this evening's sermon. As a way to know God's will, we need to know the Word. And so the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so Psalm 119 provides this for us in a profound, profound way. Now, Psalm 119 is not one that many preach on. I recognize that. In the year 2015 at Shepherd's Conference, Mark Dever was assigned Psalm 119. And that was one of the things he mentioned. He was preaching to preachers. And he says most people just give up and go for Psalm 19 instead, which is much shorter, much more digestible, and you can fit it into one sermon and has the same topic of the value of God's Word. But I was impacted by thinking about the whole psalm at once. And so that's my goal for this evening. What's interesting about this psalm is there's no author mentioned. We kind of assume that it is written by David, and there's a chance that it was written by David. It's as good as any other possibility. Many believe it was actually written after the exile, or when they came back in the land, because it sounds like he'd been surrounded by evil. But nobody really knows for sure. And it doesn't take anything away from it that we don't know the author. Now, it is commonly noticed, if you look at Psalm 119, it's divided into sections. Okay? And those sections are the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, and on through the Hebrew alphabet, each letter representing one section. And more marvelous than that, exactly 8 phrases in each one. And so the author went to great lengths. This is like writing poetry here and thinking of the structure of the whole thing before he started. And there's one more amazing thing in that in each section, every phrase begins with the letter of that section. So verses 1 through 8 that are from the letter Aleph, each verse 1 begins with Aleph, 2 begins with Aleph all the way down, and then you come to verses 9 through 16, verse 9 begins with Beit, verse 10 begins with Beit, and all the way down through the alphabet that way. And so the author worked really hard. And of course, they did this as a way to remember it, a mnemonic device to help them recall it. And in the days before photocopiers and cell phones, you had to remember everything, okay? Most of us would have been dead in the water, okay, if we had to remember the things that they had to remember. But they did, and they worked much harder at it probably than we do. So because of its structure, it's called an acrostic psalm because of the connection with the alphabet. It's not the only acrostic psalm, by the way. There are actually 9 acrostic psalms in the Psalms, Psalm 9 and 10 together, 25, 34, 37, 111, 112, and 145 are also acrostic psalms. And so it was a fairly common mnemonic device to help them remember things. So just the structure of it and the alphabet, that's amazing fact number one. Amazing fact number two is that each verse of this psalm, with the exception of about 5, refers to the Word of God in some way or another. He had a theme, and he was hitting it, okay? Every single verse, with the exception of 5, out of all 176, refer to the Word of God. And even among those 5, some of the words could possibly be a reference to the Word of God just in a different way. Just amazing, his singularity of focus. An amazing fact, number 3, are the variety of synonyms for the Bible, which the author uses. Now, there are 8 prominent ones, and I'll give you all 8, then I'll go back and describe them in a little bit more detail. So, law was one word that they used. It was used 25 times. Word, as in God's word, was used 24 times. Rulings or ordinances, depends on how it's translated, was used 23 times. Testimonies was used 23 times. Commandments, 22 times. Statutes, 21 times. Precepts or charges, or 21 times. And then sayings or promise or word was used 19 times. And it's really clear that he was trying to be spread these expressions out, because they all are right around 20 to 25 times that they were used. It's not like he had a favorite one and he's varied off it just a little bit. He kind of balanced them all out when he was writing this psalm. So these words do have nuances to them. While they all refer to the Word of God, they do have a little bit different meaning. So the word for law, which will sound familiar to most of us, is the word Torah. That occurs 25 times. Now, it has both a broad meaning and a narrow meaning. In the broad sense, it refers to any instruction flowing from the revelation of God. So, that is as broad as you can get, anything that God has said. In the narrow sense, it denotes the Torah of Moses, which, you know, we know is the first 5 books of our Bible, the Pentateuch. It's the priestly law, or the Deuteronomic law. So the broad meaning is often supposed in the wisdom writings, but also in Deuteronomy and the prophets. So God himself is the source of all this revelation, and his instruction comes through various passages of Scripture. The second word I mentioned was word, dabar, and it occurs 24 times. And this is any word that proceeds from the mouth of God, whether it pertains to the Ten Commandments or to the law of Moses or that which was revealed through the prophets. This is the most general term that is used. The third one, rulings or ordinances, that I mentioned is used 23 times. They denote cases or legal decisions pertaining to particular cases. This is like case law, like we have in America. We have our own case law, but this is case law from the Bible, from the Bible times. And these form the basis of Israel's legal system. And in Psalm 119, the word laws often denote the revelation given by the supreme judge, or God Himself. He's the great judge, and the verdicts rendered by Him are authoritative and liberating. So what the psalmist is referring to isn't those instances of case law in Israel, but the instances of the great judge and the pronouncements that he has made. Four was testimonies, again mentioned 23 times. It's only mentioned once in the singular, so the rest are all plural. And it refers to the two tablets of the testimony and the ark of the testimony. So they were symbols of the covenant relationship between God and His people. So the observance of the statutes of the Lord signifies loyalty to the terms of the covenant. And so that's what's being referred to in Psalm 119, the covenant and loyalty to it. God's loyalty and our loyalty to Him. And then commandments, these 22 times. And it is a frequent designation for anything that the Lord, the covenant God, has ordered. It's a synonym of law as well as decrees and laws. Statutes, 21 times. It's a noun derived from the word that meant engrave or inscribe. And of course, that sounds very much like how the Ten Commandments were inscribed on the tablets of stone. So it reveals God's being the author of these decrees, His royal sovereignty by establishing His divine will in nature, and also, again, the covenant community. And then, again, seven, the precepts or charges, 21 times. And the word occurs only in the book of Psalms. And they appear synonymous with covenant. And so everything that I said before regarding covenant is what this refers to. And then eight, sayings or promise or word. These occur 19 times, and they denote anything God has spoken, commanded, or promised. So again, there were all these words that were used, eight of them. Now the rabbis, they said there were actually 10 of them. I'm not sure what the other two were, to go along with the Ten Commandments. So they were always looking for things like that. And so maybe not, but there are a couple other words in the psalm that could be interpreted as the word of God. But in any case, there are eight clear of them terms that are used over and over again. And so some of the other ones, by the way, are like way. The word way is used in verse 3, 15, and 30. And path in 104, 105, and 128. So there are a few other possibilities too. Now, I'm going to read Psalm 119, okay? I know. We're in the church and we're going to read the Scripture, okay? So that should be good, right? So you can open your Bibles and follow along. Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded Your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping Your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all Your commandments. I will praise You with an upright heart when I learn Your righteous rules. I will keep Your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to Your word. May my heart be blameless in Your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for Your salvation. I hope in Your word. My eyes long for Your promise. I ask, when will You comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten Your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Let me stop, and I realize I skipped a page. These thin Bible pages. So I'm stopping at Mem and going back to verse 10. I thought that was amazing how I got so many through so many verses that quickly. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me. For I trust in your word, and I take not the word of truth, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. So I read Kaf and Lambda, and now we'll go down to Mem. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live. And let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all those who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commandments. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And so I want to make a few observations here concerning the psalm as we consider this really precious treasury of God's Word. We learn what God's Word is like. And so here's some things. First of all, the clearest observation is that it's true. The author wants us to know that God's word is true. Verse 142, he says, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. In verse 29, the opposite of truth are false ways. And he says, put false ways from me and graciously teach me your law. And so this isn't just a little bit, but put them far away from me. And so that truth is more precious. In verse 142, we see him say, your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. And so there's no limit on how many things are actually true. There's no limit on this truth. And we live in a world where things are only true for a little while, it seems. You know, eggs, no eggs. Butter, no butter. Teach self-esteem, oh no, don't teach self-esteem. You know, the list goes on and on that science has revealed to us, supposedly. And now do this, don't do this anymore. So, truth in our modern world is nothing like truth that we have with the Word of God. And we need to remember that in light of all the things that we get deluged with in a day's time. Things that are not true are said to be true. The Word of God is a different realm than science. The principles of the Word should stand over so many millennia is totally remarkable, completely remarkable. Many of these principles that we have here are being called into question in our day in the realm of life and death, how the Bible defines that, and with men and women, and our society will pay the consequences for these things. That's what the Word of God teaches. But we should remain steadfastly devoted to His Word. Verse 151 says that all the commandments, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. We have a great need for what is true. We speak of the truth, what is truth in the church, among God's people. But outside of it, where it's really needed, it evaporates. You know, I think about this. Fortunately, they still build buildings according to the truth, right? They don't have buildings that are using, well, they don't use them in Pisa, But everywhere else, the buildings pretty much stand up straight because they're using what is true, what we know is true. The Word of God is like that. It will stand forever. So the Word of God is true, but this also tells us that the Word of God is good. And that means that the truth is good. In verse 68, he writes, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And what is good is being flipped all around in our society. So we need to remember what is truly good. Good has more than one meaning. It can be morally good. We see that in Scripture. And the Bible's clear about what is morally good. Beautiful. What is beautiful? Often in our society, what is ugly is made beautiful. But you know what? Pretty much everybody agrees God's creation's beautiful. You don't struggle with that. Everyone agrees with that. They want to get out to nature and see what God has made, though they don't recognize the Creator. Thirdly, it is true, it is good. The other thing we can observe is that it will last forever. Psalm 119, verse 152. "Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." 160. "The sum of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever." That's a long time. And that's what's great about it. They were true in eternity past. They'll still be true in eternity future forever. No matter what happens, they'll still be true. So forever is good. So God is like this. He's true, He's good, and He's eternal. So we're talking about the Word, but we're also talking about God at the same time. What defines His Word also defines God, which is why 119 verse 2 tells us to seek Him. "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart." They're the same. The Word is righteous like He is, verse 137 and 142. The Bible's not God, but apart from the Bible, we wouldn't know Him. And the flip side is true. To attack the Word is to attack God. Okay? So, the Word and God are linked forever. So we need to consider and what a treasure the Word of God is. Well, there's 3 points tonight beyond these observations. Number one is expecting. What does the Word of God do? What should we expect from it as we read it? What should we expect from the Word of God? Well, we can clearly say that it is active. It accomplishes things. It does things through His Word, like bless. Verses 1 and 2. "Blessed are those whose way is blameless." Verse 2. "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies." So, it's active. It does things. And you can list all the ways that God's Word blesses you. Beyond that, it inspires awe. God's Word inspires awe. Psalm 161 says, "Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words." Psalm 119, I'll just say the verse. I won't say 119, but verse 171. "My lips pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes." And so it inspires awe in us. We hardly have the words to express the awe the Word of God inspires in us. It addresses every part of our lives. It gives a vision of God that is unrivaled. You can't get it any other place. It also causes us to grieve over our sin. We can't escape that. Verse 136. "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. That's grief unmasked. In verse 53, hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. So the Word of God educates our consciences to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good. Yes, we understand our own sin, but what about the world around us? There's both hot indignation and tears. Sometimes we don't know which is more appropriate, indignation or tears. Sometimes both are, because of the sin in the world. It helps us to stay pure. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. It's very clear. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then Psalm 101, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. So, it helps us to stay pure. We're sometimes ignorant of the power of the word, or at least we act ignorant. We know this consciously. One of the reasons I chose to read the entire psalm tonight is because there's no substitute for it. What did Jesus do? Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, when He was faced with temptation, He quoted the Word. Even God needs the Word, if you will. He used it to battle Satan. And sometimes we're so ignorant, we're so silly, by not using the Word, this gift that we've been given, in order to battle Satan in his battle against us. Jesus was sinless and divine, and yet He still relied on the Word of God. He wasn't doing that for show. It was because of the power of the Word. I read this verse this morning that it's the will of God, our sanctification, and to abstain from sexual immorality. We can help ourselves by being immersed in the Word. So not only does it inspire awe or cause us to grieve from sin and help us to stay pure, but it also gives hope to the hopeless. It gives joy. Psalm 119, 111. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. We talked about delighting this morning in Psalm 37, 4. Here we see it again. Joy. Hope for the hopeless. 162, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. And 165 as well. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. And so we have this great hope. Of course, we read earlier Psalm 105, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And verse 104 as well, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So it gives us this light that we desperately need. Verse 130 says, it imparts understanding to the simple. The Holy Spirit is working in us even as we read it. Even as we're reading it tonight, the Holy Spirit was teaching us. In verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. So as we read the Word of God, as we enact it in our lives, the Holy Spirit is there helping us. So we talked about this morning, about being Spirit-filled. He uses the Word to teach us. And then lastly, we can expect that God will deliver us. The psalmist was in trouble. 153, we read, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. 170, let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. We have no details about the trouble he was in, but he needed deliverance. And the word should not be the last resort. It should be the first resource. When Christ was facing the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and spent time with the Father. So that's what we should expect from it. There's probably much more. But second of all tonight is responding. How are we to respond to it? What does this psalm teach us about responding to it? Well, first, to obey it. Verse 88. In your steadfast love give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. The psalmist is concerned with not only knowing the law, but keeping it. Wasn't enough just to know it. Verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. So, any of those who were near to him that may lead him in a wrong way, he says, don't be near me. There's times to care for all people, but if they are having an influence on you that would keep you from obeying it, we need to separate ourselves. So it's God's love that draws him and compels him so that he obeys it. He recognizes that God's enemies would hinder him. So obeying is obvious but difficult. We know that, but it's not easy to be like that, to obey. So we are to love it. We're to obey it. Next, we are to love it. Verses 47 and 48. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. You realize I'm only reading samplings, right? We could read probably 50 verses here that talk about him loving the word in some way or another. But it's so clear. We are to love the word. 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And in verse 14, we have the word delight. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. This could be a companion of Psalm 37:4. Here's a comparison with riches. He doesn't say he delights more than riches, but he delights it as much as riches. Psalm 127, verse 127 here. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Now, if there's ever a hint of possibly David's authorship, it's this. That sounds exactly like Psalm 19. Now, if it was written after the exile, of course, they knew David's psalm, so it's hard to really know. But it certainly gives a vivid picture of its value above fine gold. And loving it also because it is in contrast with falsehood. 163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. So nobody likes falseness when they're on the losing side of it. No one likes to be cheated or stolen from. But the psalmist loves God's law. Thirdly, in terms of responding, we need to meditate on it. That's what the psalmist did. That's what the author did. 97, oh, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I remember reading that as a young man and stumbling a bit on how can you do that all day? You have so many things that are crowding in. Well, that's where we rely on the Holy Spirit. It won't be every moment of every day because we have other things that we are doing. But as the Spirit prompts us, we meditate on His Word and we treasure it. So we And also, when we're reading, we need to engage our minds more than just letting our eyes fall over the words. Or even as we're reading, we're thinking, meditation's going back. It's like the cow that chews on the cud and chewing on it, thinking of it from this angle. Well, and what about from this angle? Well, how about in this part of my life, in this part of my life? That's meditating on it. It's not emptying our minds. It's filling our minds with the Word of God, thinking deeply, considering. And he sings, look at this in 172. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. What is singing but meditating in a different way? As we sing, it brings to our minds different thoughts, especially as we sing songs repeatedly over and over again. Fourthly, we need to trust it. We need to trust it. Verse 42. Then shall I have an answer for him who trusts me, who taunts me, for I trust in your word. This is an issue that's important, trusting God's word. In our day, there is little trust in God's word. People trust everything but God's word. How do we answer those who taunt us? Is the Word where we go for answers? Hopefully. We need to know it well enough to give answers when that time comes to those who question, taunt, or mock. They are everywhere. So we need to trust it. And it begins with our trust. We need to test it to make sure that we have a reason for trusting. We need to use the minds that God has given us. And then we need to fear the God whose word it is. Verse 120, he says, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. It struck me so much as I was reading through it tonight, that one verse, and I hoped I had written it down. Psalm 119 for a moment. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. So fear the God whose word it is. He trembles for fear. And we're missing in this day. The fear of God is, for many, is just a word. They don't have that perspective at all. We know that perfect love drives out fear, but God, in God, we have both fear and confidence. God's judgments are right and our sinfulness on the wrong side of them. Yet His forgiveness is freely bestowed. And so we fear and we have confidence. The third point tonight is anticipating. The third and last point. You know what's fun here? It's seeing Christ in this psalm. It's very, very precious. You see, Psalm 119 is not just talking about the Bible. The end of this is not just referring to His written word. What is this referring to? It's pointing to the future. It's pointing to the obedience of Christ. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So that's what we're reading here. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He created the world. And in John 1, that was Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In John 1, 1 to 3, He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Christ was right there at the beginning, and Christ is the Word of God. So it's no surprise that this scripture points to one who is greater than just the psalmist. Verse 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Who has done this more perfectly than Jesus Christ? But yet, Jesus was not blessed. Jesus was killed wrongly as a lawbreaker. You know what's fascinating? If you look at Luke 24, verse 44, listen to this. And then He said to them, this is Christ after He's risen from the dead, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He includes the Psalms in that statement. So, as we look at Psalm 119, can we see the Son doing the Father's business in verses 99 and 100? "I have more understanding than all My teachers, for Your testimonies are My meditation. I understand them more than the aged, for I keep Your precepts." Can you remember when He was in the temple, when He was just a child, sitting with the aged? He understood them, even as a young man. Or how about during His ministry? Verse 136, "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep Your law." Luke 19:41, we hear that. When He drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known this day the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." So Jesus fulfilled this with His tears. Or how about His indignation of sin in the temple courts in 119 verse 53? Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake Your law, as He went in with His cords and drove out the money changers. Or in verse 23, "Even though princes sit plotting against Me, Your servant will meditate on Your statutes." There they were, plotting against Him. Matthew 22, verse 15. "Then the Pharisees went and plotted," they didn't even use the same word, "plotted how to entangle Him in His words." And then verse 23, same chapter, "The same day Sadducees came to Him who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked Him a question. They tried to trip Him up." And then, same chapter, verse 34. "But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him." They just kept coming at Him. They were His enemy. We see that again in verse 110, back in Psalm 119, "The wicked have laid a snare for Me, but I do not stray from Your precepts." Didn't matter what they did, Christ wasn't going to stumble. Verse 95, "The wicked lay lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. Verse 157, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. You can see Christ there. And how about Christ in Gethsemane, verse 143? Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. As he sweat drops of blood on the night before he was to be slain. Another verse that goes with his indignation in the temple courts is Psalm 139. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. So despite his sinless life, he suffers for righteousness' sake. Psalm 119, verse 69. The insolent smear me with lies. How about during his trial? They smear me with lies, but my whole heart, with my whole heart, I keep your precepts. 61. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. And 83 to 87. For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. And then we hear the echoes of Herod and Pilate in verses 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. And then in 75, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. 112. I incline my heart to perform your statute forever to the end. He remained faithful to the end of his life. 107. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. And then from the tomb of Christ, 149, hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. And God did give him life. He rose from the dead, triumphant. We see Christ here in this psalm. And you know what? Going back to verses 1 and 2. Christ was blessed. He was slain for his righteousness, but he was blessed because God raised him from the dead. And more than that, he gave all of us life. All of us can be blessed just as Christ was, just as the psalmist was. And I encourage us to spend time in his word. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to drive us back, lead us back, compel us back to your word so that we can live joyously, can live righteously, so that we can experience the sanctification that you desire for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of Christ that so fulfilled the psalm and this psalm specifically. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to these many truths in your word. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen us each day. Father, be with us now this week as well as we go out and accomplish what you've called us to do. I pray that we would live boldly in your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.